Judy?
Yes, it come out yet.
Okay.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoah. Anabakoah, Gedulat Shemincha, Tatir, Zerura, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi. Barnash, Ledach Yaleya, Mine Yaulan Haga Be Yakalana Dehakulu Ovada Deep Shot Inun Witola It's the Reef Be Alma. The energy of the year 5778. The energy is bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. Well, there are two verses in this that connect to this energy. The first that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. With Psalm. Vayishkav Amnon, Vayitchal Vayavo, Hamelech Liroto, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech Tavo, Natamar Achoti Utlabev, Ve'enei Shetei Levivot, Ve'ev Rebi Yada. The second verse that we study is Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Tet.
Malka.
The letters of this name of the year is separated by three letters each. Chatati Odiacha Wawoni Loki siti amarti ode ale pashai ladonai ahuahe viatanasata awon khatati bela. The year 5777. Has the energy of the goat, but it also has the energy of a wake-up call. There are two verses that connect to this energy as well. The first verse that we study is from Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. Tzod saduni katsipor oyevai hinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we have Tzatz Ki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. And when we take the final letters of these words, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse is from Joshua, chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each. Kim Vadonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadevaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, has two verses as well. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim hayu limat velo yachlu lahavshit et kol ha'olot Vayahaskum Achechem Halavim Ad Kelo Tamlacha Yad Yitkad Shu Hakohanim Ki Halavim Yishrei Levav Lehid Kadesh Me Hakohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letters, we we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohei Wahei, La Lahei, Wah Wah Wah, Yola Yo Alame, Hey Hey Hey, Aka Rekaha. The second verse that connects to the pause is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adead kibia yohe Adonai yohe wahe sur olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first is from Job chapter 7 verse 19. Kama lo tishemi meni lo tarpeni at bili ruki. Next we have 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol amachavo iyam asher yitchabe sham ushavtem elai onaho vihalakti itchem Wehayim yashno v'aretz v'hipasti oto b'kol alfei yehuda. And the third is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegel ola netzach yoveg lo av yom ruayo. The energy in the year 5774 is swallowing its peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy. Wasamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakam tach kav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla le'anoto Ka'asher Barishona. We're now going to connect to the energy of the 72 names of God. We do this by saying this, each letter with their root vowel in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote alame mehe shila lahe Aka a kaheta heza yo alada la awa hey hey a yozala me be hey hey reyo hey kome la awa kala yo ala wa wa be hey la nulaha yo 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 me la hey 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 wa. Nuta he he a a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ko ta wa ko me nu da a nu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he Sa'ala reyo ashila meyo he wahe wa dainu yo pe he shi a me me nu nu a nu yo ta me be he pe wa yo nu me me yo yo la he re he me sa re wa me be yo he he a nu wa pe he yo da me be me nu ko Ayo ahe be wa, re ahe yo be me, he yo yo me wa me. And now we'll connect to the 72 names from the, that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. Wa 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 yo yo yo, sa be te a ame. Me be shi la yo hei anu wa kameta. Hey, hey, yo, anu da, la, hey, wa, hey, mea. Yo, sa, la, me, re, hey. We, hey, yo, yo, hey, me, me. La, wa, wa, ka, be, yo. La, yo, wa, pe, nu, la. Nu, me, ha, yo, ke, yo. Me, nu, hey, 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 wa. Nu, yo, hey, hey, she, ah, yo, re, ta, she, ah, hey. Re la yo a wa me la yo me wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da anu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he she he me ka ka wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo a la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo, he yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta, me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la, he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he, a la wa me za yo. Ta he be me ka ko, a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me, he la yo me, me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 29th day of Sivan, there are actually one of the few days of the year where there is no Tzaddikim who left this day. When that happens, we connect to people who we know to be Tzaddikim, but we're not sure of their Hilulah, their day that they left. And the first one that we know is like that is Seth ben Adam. He's the third son of Adam. He's known to be a Tzaddik, and we don't know the day he left. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say in a whisper, Baruch. Now today's class is the writings of the Ari. And you can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. When that link opens up, it's a landing page. Scroll down to Parasha Korach, which is this week's Parasha. And it's the first link, No One's Place. And that's where we are starting our reading. Korach refused to reconcile because his quarrel was not for the sake of heaven. In this parasha, the Torah chronicles the rebellion of Korach. You can understand Korach's quarrel with Moses based on what is written in the Sosino Zohar on the verse, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. In the middle of that passage in the Zohar, it says, similar to this is the quarrel of Korach with Aaron. The division of the water into two, atmospheric and ocean water, presaged the division of Korach. The 7 days of the creation week manifested the seven sephirot of the emotions. Sunday, when light was created, manifested chesed, pure giving. Monday, when the primordial water was divided into atmospheric moisture, the upper water, and the oceans, the lower water, manifested givurah, restraint. Water is naturally heavier than air, so So in order for it to be suspended in air, it had to be restrained from precipitating. And this aspect of the hydrological system or the hydrological cycle is referred to as the firmament. Now I am adding to clarify what's been said. There are other opinions about the upper and lower waters. Some Kabbalists indicate that the upper waters are related to the Oort cloud, which is composed of meteors, water, ice, methane, ammonia, that is outside of the solar system planets. So even the orbit of Pluto, these things are outside of the orbit of Pluto. This is called the Oort cloud, and we're just beginning to learn about it. But the Kabbalists always spoke about the water that came from meteors, and all of the meteors tend to come from the Oort cloud. The firmament is the atmosphere, and the lower waters are the ocean. And there are other opinions as well. Always know there are different opinions in Kabbalah. There are different ways of understanding the words of Torah. Continuing to read. In particular, however, the upper and lower waters manifested chesed and gevurah, and the firmament manifests Tiferet, which harmonizes Chesed and Gevurah. This is why the work of creation involving water was not finished until the third day, when the oceans were gathered in order for the dry land to appear. For the third day manifested Tiferet. And I am adding, please note that water represents Chesed. Can the lower waters be Gevurah? Only in the context of relativity. Know that Korach was a Levite and thus embodied Gevurah. Know that Korach was a Levite and thus embodied Gevurah, and moreover was the head of the Levites, and thus embodied the highest aspect of all states of Gevurah, while Aaron embodied the highest aspect of all states of Chesed. Thus their quarrel was that of the left side with the right side. And that's why the earlier discussion that we just read quickly was indicating that the conflict was similar to the dividing of the waters. Continuing to read. Chesed is the central Sephirah on the right axis of the Sephirot, while Gevurah is the central Sephirah on the left axis. Their natures are fundamentally opposed, Chesed being the nature to share and Gevurah being the nature to withhold. The tension between them is thus the fundamental tension of duality in all reality. And I am adding, to understand the term central Sephirah on an axis means it is the middle Sephirah in the various columns of the Tree of Life. Chachma, Netzach, Chesed. Those are the three Sephirot on the right column. Chesed is the middle on the vertical side, but all three are in the right column. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. Moses observed this and said, "It is proper for me to try to harmonize them." Them being Korach and Aaron. This befitted Moses, for he embodied the principle that sweetens all states of Yevorah above, the spiritual realm, the middle axis. The middle axis of the Sephirot harmonizes the right and left axis, combining the positive qualities in each and neutralizing their extremes. My commentary. The next few paragraphs require deep contemplation on the Tree of Life, on the Tree of Life structure. If you have questions, please ask them. If you feel that you do not understand, express that opinion as well. It is important to have at least a modicum of understanding to go forward in your learning on this subject of Korach, Moshe, and Aaron and their disagreement. Furthermore, Moses embodies the Yesod of Abba, which is revealed at the level of Tiferet of Zeranpin, as is known, because it emerges from its investiture in a Yesod of Ima and extends further down than the Yesod of Ima. The Yesod of Abba, the drive of insight for self-actualization, becomes clothed in the Yesod of Ima, the drive of the intellect proper for self-actualization, and therefore together with it in Zeranpin, the emotions produced by the intellect. Thus the emotions are driven by these two drives, one invested within and driving the other. The Yesod of Ima, however, is invested in Zeranpin only, as far down as its Tiferet, while Yesod of Abba continues down until the Yesod of Zeranpin. Thus, Yesod of Abba is revealed, openly manifest, when the emotions reach their central point of development, Tiferet, the element of mercy in the emotional array. The essence of any new insight is a new, higher, better way of looking at reality. This new insight, if properly transmitted, will enable everyone to live life better, and therefore transmitting it is an act of mercy on creation. Therefore, Yesod of Abba becomes manifest in Tiferet of Zeranpin. This manifest light of Abba also serves to sweeten the states of Gibura at that point. It is the exposed light of Yesod of Abba that enables Tiferet to harmonize the two preceding sub-sephirot of Zeranpin, Chesed and Gibura. This is the mystical meaning of what is said to Moses, and she saw him. The Hebrew word is oto. His sign, Ot, of the Holy Covenant, which was Yesod of Abba, that he was good. This is what Jochebed, Moses' mother, said when he was born. That it manifests only states of chesed and could serve to sweeten the states of Gevurah. In the phrase, and she saw him that he was good, the word for him, oto, can also mean his sign, and thus the phrase can read, and she saw that his sign was good. The male reproductive organ is known as the sign of the Holy Covenant of circumcision. And this is a statement from the Tikkuni Zohar that we have read in our classes. But Korach did not want to be reconciled. But Korach did not want to be reconciled with Aaron and therefore persisted in his quarrel. Korach wanted what he wanted when he wanted it. And that's what caused the problem. He wasn't willing I don't want to use the word compromise because that's not really a good thing to compromise. But that's a very long discussion within the Kabbalah. You get what you create together. And Giborah needs to be reconciled with Chesed to create Tiferet. But Korach did not want to be reconciled with Aaron and therefore persisted in his quarrel. Moses said, surely purgatory resulted from the intensity of this tension above in the spiritual realm. It is therefore necessary to combine Korach, the personification of the left side, with the right side. If he does not want this, he will surely descend into purgatory. Just as when the world was created, the intensity that issued from the tension between the higher and lower waters descended into purgatory. Initially, Chesed argued that kindness should be shown even to the wicked, while Giborah argued that punishment should be meted out even to the righteous for their minuscule faults. Tiferet harmonized this, so that Chesed agreed that the wicked should be punished, and Giborah agreed that the righteous should not. This argument thus produced the purgatory. The fire of purgatory, wherein the wicked received their punishment, their purification for their sins, allegorically, the heat of the argument is envisioned as producing the fires of purgatory. I am adding, purgatory is not a Jewish concept. In actuality, this allegory is also a true spiritual effect of the binding by striking between Chesed and Giborah that creates Tiferet. Korach did not want to agree to be mollified because his quarrel was not for the sake of heaven. He didn't care to resolve it. He wanted what he wanted when he wanted it. That's not an argument for the sake of heaven. If you're searching for truth, then you can have an argument for the sake of heaven, which means you're looking for the truth between two opposing viewpoints. I'm continuing to read. The sages state that any quarrel that is for the sake of heaven will endure, while any quarrel that is not for the sake of heaven will not endure. What is an example of a quarrel for the sake of heaven? The quarrel between the house of Hillel and the house of Shammai in the Talmud. And what is the example of a quarrel that is not for the sake of heaven? The quarrel of Korach and his congregation. For the sake of heaven means for the purpose of arriving at the truth, in order to further God's purpose on earth, rather than for the purpose of self-aggrandizement. The word for the sake of, l'shem, literally means for the name of. Here the Arizal interprets this phrase mystically, defining heaven and name as appellations for specific mystical realms. Heaven refers to Zeranpin, and name refers to the Nukva of Zeranpin, which is its name, which is Malkut, A name is something that manifests the entity called by that name. The feminine principle, Malchut, expresses the emotions, which are Zerampin. Thus, any quarrel in any manifestation of Yiburah that is for the sake of heaven, for the Nukva of Zerampin, heaven will endure. It will remain above while Zerampin with Zerampin and will not descend into purgatory, while any quarrel that is not for the sake of heaven, but is rather for the other side, the side of evil, will not endure above, but will descend to purgatory. Whatever aspects of Giborah send to be sweetened by Chesed can remain together with it, functioning as male and female in the orderly development of the creative process. Those coarser aspects of Giborah that are too egocentric to be sweetened, ipso facto become the forces of pure punishment for sin, for egocentricity. I am adding, it is important at this point to stress that there is never punishment nor reward. There is only effects of spiritual causes. When someone, a student of Kabbalah, uses the terms reward and punishment, it is a caution sign regarding their commentaries upon teachings of the sages of Kabbalah. When one finds this, it is important to ask questions seeking clarification. Korach was not concerned with God's glory. Korach was not concerned with God's glory, but sought to confound the work of creation as follows. The original Giborah of which we speak is holy, and when it is properly sweetened, it indeed remains above in the realm of Zerampin. This increases the glory of holiness. When, however, aspects of Giborah are made to leave the realm of holiness and not be sweetened, it causes holiness to descend, weakening holiness and strengthening evil. Or for the realm of evil is thus increased by the force of holiness transmitted to it. And this is what Korach did. This is how he confounded the work of creation. His egocentricity added power to evil. When Moses saw how he deranged the upper realms, diminishing holiness by he himself was being affronted, for Korach was fitting to be sweetened and rectified by him. Korach's refusal to be reconciled with Aaron was thus both a derangement of the workings of creation and a personal affront to Moses, who as Yesod of Abba should have rectified him. When Korach refused him and did not want to be sweetened, Moses became angry, very angry, over the rectification that was meant for him to orchestrate, and that he could not conclude. For Korach, diminishing the power of holiness and increased the power of impurity. Moses is therefore described as being very angry, because it was not only that he did not merit to rectify what he should have rectified, which affected only him personally, but Korach's rebellion also blemished the spiritual realms. because Korach caused all this, he descended to purgatory, as befitted him. Thus we see how Korach reflected the very first quarrel, in which the coarser aspects of Gibborah themselves were stridently maintained. That is the end of this section of the writings of the Ari, and we truly don't have the time to read the next one in the next 10-15 minutes. So I'm going to ask if there are any questions about what was said, because there were a lot of technical terms used. Go ahead.
No. Purgatory, is that in the lower dimensions? We know it's not in the upper dimensions.
Well, I missed the first word you said. What was the word you used?
The purgatory. Whereabouts would that be in the structure of the lower dimensions? I know they went
it's
into
not.
The inner
it's
earth.
It's not. It's not. Purgatory is a concept that comes from outside of Judaism.
Okay.
We have the concept of seven different heavens and seven different hells. So we have seven heavens and seven hells.
Uh-huh.
The Christians primarily, but also the Muslims, do not go to that level of detail. They speak of heaven, one heaven, and they speak of purgatory as a place where you go to be judged. And you can either be judged to go to heaven or you can be judged to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Purgatory is incorrectly used in this translation. But we only have this source of the translation into English of the writings of the Ari. So I use it.
Okay.
But I'm very careful to stress purgatory is not part of it. I set it up above. It's not part of Kabbalistic understanding.
Right.
Kabbalah does have this idea of judgments, but the judgments are every day. When you go to sleep, your soul ascends and your soul is judged on the actions of the day. But it's a judgment based on love. It's not, what did you do wrong and let's punish you. It's, your goal is to make your tikkun. Today you didn't make your tikkun. What actions did you do that we can then modify them tomorrow? We can motivate you to do better tomorrow to reach your tikkun. It's a whole different understanding than what I have grown up in and absorbed from the Western world. Now, I do not have the background of some people in our class who, and if I'm incorrect in what I've asserted, please tell me.
I hate to say, but the call was dropped and I just got back on.
Okay. I'll say it again. Sorry. That's why we have the time.
Okay.
In Judaism, we have a concept of a place that you are judged. But that judgment isn't at the end of your life. It's every day of your life. When you go to sleep, you elevate to heaven, and there is a judgment based on your actions of that day. But that judgment isn't judgment. It's judgment tempered with mercy. It's judgment based on love. It's, you didn't make your tikkun today. Okay, what did you do? How do we motivate you tomorrow to make more, to do more, to reach your tikkun? The prosecutor, which is Satan, presents his idea based on strict judgment. The effect of your actions from today should be this. But the court says, maybe so, but here is a less onerous method that will accomplish the same goal. And the judges rule how they rule. It's judgment based on love. It's judgment tempered by mercy. This is not my understanding of purgatory. And with that said, what I'm asking is, this is my understanding of what I have absorbed from the Western societies. But if I'm incorrect in what is taught there, please let me know.
Well, the reason I ask the question is because the earth swallowed up Noah in his assembly.
Yes.
Alive. So the reason I was asking, what level of dimension did they go to?
Well,
in the
Korach had his sons, the B'nai Korach, because they followed him, and he had these other people who were from the tribe of Reuben who were following him. And so Korach went to the lowest hell, known as Sheol. And that is extremely difficult to get out of. The children of Korach, who followed their father, but they were really honoring their father, which is why they followed him, that was tempered. And so they went to a higher level of hell. They didn't go as far down. Their action called for them to be in Sheol with Korach because they were trying to change the columns. They were trying to make the right column the left column and the left column the right column. And so that wasn't ever going to happen because God set it up the way he set it up for a reason. So the children of Korach went to hell also, but only for a short time, only for 11 months or 12 months. Whereas their father went to Sheol, and may even still be there, according to some descriptions. That's why we have seven levels of hell. Because a person can rise from the sixth level to the fifth level, from the fifth level to the fourth level, and from the fourth level to the third level, and from the third to the second level. Just as a tzaddik can rise from the first or the seventh level of heaven to the sixth level, and then to the fifth level, and then ultimately to the first level. And what we were discussing in the Noah class today relates to what we're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
Is Sana still on the call?
I don't know. Was she on the call?
I think she was, but, you know, she may have been thrown off like you were, and then she couldn't get back in yet, or she,
yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Okay, so what we were talking about earlier today was the convert and rectifying the souls from the original creation, the tikkun, for those souls.
So what we were talking about today that relates to what we're talking about now is the idea of the malchut of Atzilut.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because Atzilut is one of the heavens.
Right.
Actually, Atzilut is above the seven heavens, because the seven heavens consists of the Sefirot, Malchut, Yesod, Hod, Netzach, Tiferet, Gevurah, Chesed, what we call Zeran Pin. Those are the seven heavens, and above that is Atzilut.
This is really interesting, how Koach and how the firmament that was definitely a different.
It gives you a different understanding other than just Koach argued with Moshe, and you know, God settled the arguments by the flowers that came out of Aaron's staff.
Right.
So God accepted Aaron's incense, and that settled the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And because Koach was arguing about Malchut, about these different levels of heaven and hell, God, Mida Keneged Mida, Koach is punished to go to the slowest level of hell.
Mm-hmm.
But the Ari is going into very deeper levels. And the other section of this page that we didn't read, that we'll read next year, even goes into it on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions?
Not at the moment.
I'm sure we'll come back to it.
Okay.
You have a good evening.
Thank you, Hannah.
Shalom to everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thanks.